This is Lavinia Spirito for Catholic Way Bible Study. The Bible is full of references of the importance of reading God's Word. For example, Paul's letter to the Hebrews says that the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Psalm 119 tells us, God's Word is truly a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And the cry of the Shema Yisrael from Deuteronomy, and these words that I command to you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. Like the chosen people, God's church is called to read, study, absorb, and apply the entirety of God's written revelation. We can trust the scriptures to reveal God's mind and purpose about our lives and situations. You can trust the Lord. His word is true.
Catholic Way Bible Study. Peace, power, purpose. Find out more at cwbs.org.
When was the last time you were truly thankful for your liver?
1 Minute Monk, Abbot Placid Solari of Belmont Abbey.
Probably not recently. Yet without our liver, we would die. Quite often, we take things that are important, even vital to us, for granted. We often take the people who do so much for us and who play an important role in our lives for granted. In his rule, St. Benedict offers a different approach. He reminds us that no person, no task is unimportant. He sets up a way of life which leads to holiness by encouraging faithfulness in the ordinary things, which really make up the greater part of our life.
For your free copy of The Rule of St. Benedict, visit oneminutemonk.com, oneminutemonk.com.
Through mindfulness of God and an attitude of gratitude, we come to appreciate how much we depend on the goodness and good work of ordinary people and ordinary things.
Welcome back. You are listening to The Cradle of the Convert. My name is Dan Walker.
And I'm Mark Bartholomew.
We thank you for listening. Hope you are enjoying the show to date. For those who just turned to our channel, we are WDCR Decatur Catholic Radio. So yeah, I got my Southern. Do you know I'm from the South?
No, you aren't.
I'm not.
No,
but
I didn't think so.
Good, so anyway. Anyway, thank you for listening. Hope you're enjoying the show. You know, we are at this segment. We always preview the gospel.
Yes, sir.
And so Mark is going to do the reading, and then maybe we'll just discuss it a little
bit.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Mark, if you would.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. The shepherds went in haste to Bethlehem and found Mary and Joseph and the infant lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known the message that had been told them about this child. All who heard it were amazed by what had been told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just as it had been told to them. When 8 days were completed for his circumcision, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord,
Lord Jesus
Christ.
Christ. How about that?
Well, and that comes full circle back when it's not the Annunciation of Mary. When we celebrate
Solemnity
of Mary.
Yes, the Solemnity
of
Mary.
When she was told that she will bear the Son of God.
At the Annunciation, indeed.
At the Annunciation. Yeah, so I was there.
Yeah.
See, I'm glad you're here joining
first-hand
us.
First hand report.
I'd be a lost soul without you, Mark. But yeah, nice that gospel, you know, that comes full circle and it kind of reinforces
indeed
earlier words of Scripture.
Indeed.
And so we...
I always found this a little interesting. First of all, the angel Gabriel appears to Mary in the Annunciation. And he offers her the opportunity to bear the Christ, the child. Tells her, I've been sent. And this is this. And Mary says, let it be done to me as you have said. I am a handmaiden of the Lord. So at that point, she's told that the Holy Spirit's going to come upon her. She's going to conceive God's child, and he will be great. So now she's keeping that in her heart the whole way through her pregnancy and the delivery of the child. And then at this solemnity, she also, when she's told again by the shepherds, the message they receive from the angel, that he was the Messiah, the God incarnate, and she keeps that to herself and ponders it in her heart. I always found that interesting. Was each one of those an affirmation? Because, you know, at the visitation, Mary goes to see her cousin Elizabeth, who is in her 70s, never been able to conceive, and she's pregnant at the time, 3 months, with John the Baptist in her womb. And what happens when Mary calls out to tell Elizabeth she's arrived, and the infant in Elizabeth's womb leaps for joy because that child knows. And suddenly Elizabeth knows, because what does she say to Mary? She says, how has it come that the mother of my Lord is here to visit me? How did she know that?
How would she know?
Yeah. You know, so
powerful.
It's very powerful. So Mary's got that in her mind, too. That is an affirmation of what the angel Gabriel told her, because Mary is only 3 months pregnant at the time, you know, or just become pregnant. And she's visiting Elizabeth, who was in her trimester, I think, 6 months, and because she stayed with Elizabeth then for 3 months after to help care for her. But think about that through her delivery.
Amazed as you've taken three different scriptures.
Yeah, well.
But all in one story.
Exactly.
All separate scriptures.
Yes.
But all common theme.
But it is.
Or not common theme, the common story.
Absolutely.
And all built upon each other,
exactly.
Even though they're independent of each other.
Yep. And remember, let's go back to us talking about Jesus' baptism in the Jordan by St. John the Baptist. And the clouds open up, and you quoted the scripture perfectly at the time about the Lord saying, this is my beloved Son, of whom I'm proud, you know.
Yeah.
Well, where does that get repeated again in the Gospels? At the Transfiguration. At the Transfiguration. Because here's Peter, James, and John up on the mountain watching the Lord transfigured into his glorious self, bleached white as snow.
You can imagine, yeah.
Yeah, and glowing. And there's Moses and Elijah there with him. And they're standing there watching this, and Peter, in all of his abruptness and tendencies to speak out, says, Lord, this is great. Let's pitch three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And about that time, it clouds up. It gets dark, and the booming voice comes out and says, this is my Son, of whom I'm pleased. And they're already, I mean, they're petrified. Peter, James, and John, they're down, you know, prostrated on the mountainside there. And they remain that way from hearing that until Jesus says, let's go. And they look up, and Elijah and Moses are gone, and Jesus returned to his state. So you find that throughout the Bible, the Old Testament to the New Testament, things are repeated. They're linked together. It's a fascinating, and I'm always surprised at how many people find the Old Testament old news. That's irrelevant. The New Testament is what we need to focus on. But the Old Testament sets the whole foundation up.
It reinforces the
New Testament. Absolutely. And proves through Scripture all the way through the years that Jesus was, in fact, the Messiah.
You know, and that, what you just spoke about in understanding the text, understanding Scripture, a better understanding of gospel, and I would say you probably have a better grasp of it than most of, more than myself, that's for sure. I can't speak for our listeners out there.
Most, he says, like he's not in a minority. You know, he's the rest of us.
Well, no, I know there's thousands of unbelievable Catholics who practice the faith on a daily basis. And
absolutely.
We all have room to grow. But
hey, the more it goes back to what I said, the more you read, the more you know.
Well, I think that goes into what I was going to do, our next topic, and we still have plenty of time. Gosh darn it, was New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
I really didn't want to get to that. But
well.
But you know what? One of the things I want to talk about is not the typical that you would think of.
Oh, okay.
You know.
Is it suitable for the
air? You know, maybe more spiritual.
Okay.
Because I want to lose weight. I'm going to cut out my carbs.
No.
Cut out the red meat.
Yep.
I'm going to do the dishes for my parents. You know, the typical, I call it more superficial.
Yep.
I think hopefully we work more on the spiritual.
Okay.
What can we do to make ourselves better people?
Well, hey, here's one. Download the Magnificat.
Yeah.
On your iPhone. Many people have smartphones. Download the app. Yeah. And start the practice of reading, splitting the Magnificat for the day, for that particular day, into morning prayer, into mass prayers, into a meditation, a homily, if you will, on the gospel in the reading, and then to an evening prayer, if you want to call it that, or afternoon prayer, and then your night prayer.
Yeah. You know, something else, if you don't want to do the Magnificat, a simple way to start, what I did was, I think you pronounced the Laudat.
Laudate. Yeah, Laudate.
Yeah, but they have, you know, daily prayer,
yes.
Saint of the day. It's a great tool and resource.
And the Laudate actually is the daily reading requirements for priests and deacons.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
You know, they have times of the day where they're there to pray, 6 a.m., you know, at noon, at 3 p.m., at 6 p.m., and at 9 p.m. So there's your morning prayer, your noon meditation, your afternoon prayer or evening, your 6 p.m. prayer, and then you get your nighttime prayer.
See, I don't think there are many of us Catholics who are very unaware of that.
Yep.
Sadly to say.
Daily
I
office.
Guess.
I think they call it the office.
Yeah.
That the priests and the
deacons. But that's another simple, doesn't cost you any money.
Right.
I got a shortcut on my cell phone for that.
Yeah, there is a electronic fee. I don't remember what it is. But there is a fee to download the Magnificat.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's, I'm going to say it's not any more than $25, and that's called the electronic subscription.
Yeah.
And like I said, I still get into holding a book in my hand, so I get the paper one too, the monthly publication of it. That has all
well,
the daily.
Well, it's a lot easier because then you can highlight it, make your own marks with your
there
pencils
you
or pen.
There you go.
And
make
then
notes.
Refer
yep.
back to it and whatnot. Sure. So I don't think we'll ever get away.
But St. Paul the Apostle tells us that, you should pray incessantly. And certainly that's one way to get started on that.
Yeah.
When you have a schedule, you are praying every 3 hours practically during the course of
well,
your
Well, that
kind of
goes with one of the things I had was pray the Bible, and that's
exactly.
why you do it through Magnificat or the Laudate.
Yeah, or just if you haven't read the Bible or it's been a long time, just start with the beginning and start reading a chapter.
You know, and I think that's a simple thing that
sure
we as
is.
Practicing Catholics can accomplish. You right. know, daily mass is tough for a lot of people.
Oh, you
know,
absolutely.
If you got kids
it can't make
and,
it.
You know, 6:30 in the morning,
sure.
it's tough.
Yes, yes.
Those are simple things.
Praying the rosary.
Yeah.
A resolution to pray the rosary daily. Or the chaplet of divine mercy. How about a resolution to read the gospel every week before going to mass and think about it. Maybe as a family, making a resolution to sit down as a family and read the gospel on Wednesday, let's say.
That's one of the things I have, find a partner to help you
there
in
you
that
go.
Journey.
There you go.
So you can reinforce. I don't, you know, it's like a workout partner.
Yep,
man,
exactly.
I can't get up and do this.
That's
and the
right.
other partner forces you or
yep.
you get to the gym and the other guy,
guilt you.
If you miss it one
guilt
time,
you.
They guilt you.
Yeah.
So find a prayer partner. You
yep,
know, obviously
exactly.
that'd be your spouse for those who are married, but
sure.
Even kids and whatnot.
Sure.
That's a great way of doing it.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's all kinds of resolutions that don't involve the things that we so easily break, like diets or
well, I think everything else falls underneath that. I think if we become better practicing Catholics, all those other things, you know, one of the things I have is be generous.
Yes.
And it wasn't with money.
Right.
We can be generous by holding the door open for someone.
Exactly.
Helping someone out of the car who's elderly. An act of charity. You know, time, talents, and treasure.
That's
well,
right.
We have everyone has time typically and treasures or
yeah.
talents.
So, dreaded New Year's resolutions. You know, well, don't dread them. Make something positive out of it. I mean,
yeah.
something you really know you could do and you can accomplish.
And these are simple. Actually,
yeah.
they're probably easier
well,
than
they
some
easier.
Of the other ones.
Yeah,
you know,
you're
I need
not,
to lose 50 pounds.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
You know,
that's tough.
But maybe through prayer.
Yeah.
Being better, that'll help me
sure.
find the fortitude to be disciplined
sure.
and then follow through with my eating habits and things
sure.
like that. So everyone out there listening, just think about New Year's is coming up. I think we ought to just contemplate, maybe with a closing prayer, we'll do a little prayer of that we're guided by making the right decisions and the resolutions that will fit each of our own individual needs.
Yeah, so, sounds great.
Let's go next. Let's do some calendar stuff.
Okay.
If you don't mind, I'm going to give you a couple.
Oh, great. I was hoping
you're good at reading.
Oh, and
you've been reading it all. You've been reading all this whole show. I'll start with the HFCS graduates. The class of 2017 will be the 54th class of students at Holy Family Catholic School. There are now over 1,400 alumni. We want to help locate them all. So if you are a graduate, the parents or friend of a graduate, please email Holy Family Alumni Committee with your contact information and year of graduation. So you probably just call the school or the parish office. Karen Barding, Maggie Pugh, Jackie Getter are three people that are working on this committee. But if you are a graduate or know someone, looking for contact information.
Very well. St. Teresa is holding the entrance exam for incoming freshmen Saturday, January 7th. Now, that's a week from this coming Saturday, from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., and it's going to be in the multipurpose room at St. Teresa. So please call St. Teresa if you have an incoming freshman or want to have an incoming freshman there at 875-2431. That's 875-2431 to register to take the exam or even to get more information on it. The purpose of taking the exam is to give the school information so the student is properly placed and develop a successful four-year academic plan for them.
All right, next one. This is a little birthday wish. Someone would like to wish our school principal at Holy Family, Mrs. Debbie Alexander, happy birthday.
Yeah.
December 30th.
Yeah, how about that?
Happy birthday, Mrs. Alexander.
Almost a New Year's Eve baby, Debbie. You were close.
Oh, Dad was happy. Get that tax write off there.
Yeah.
So that's, everybody likes those.
That's right.
So, we also have for St. Isidore, they are holding a Epiphany dinner on Saturday, January 7th at 5 p.m. Meat and drinks will be provided. You ought to bring a side dish. Do you have anything to say?
No, I'm out.
Oh, you're out?
The rest of them are post-dated. I mean, there's no point in telling people what they missed.
I have a couple more then. Our Lady of the Holy Spirit will be holding an Epiphany potluck on Sunday, January 8th after the 10:30 Mass. Meat and drinks will also be provided. Bring a side dish to share. Again, that's Our Lady of the Holy Spirit in Mount Zion, an Epiphany potluck on Sunday, January 8th. And then lastly, from Father Nick, there will be no 5 p.m. Mass at St. Mary's Chapel on Sunday, January 1st. Again, no 5 p.m. Mass at St. Mary's Chapel on January 1st, and there will not be an 11:30 Mass on Tuesday, January 3rd, and Thursday, January 5th. So that's our community calendar. We're going to take a short break.
I have a question before we go for break. Did you save?
Are you sure I can answer it?
Yeah, I think you can. Do you save those mass times so that I look like an idiot because I didn't have anything to read, so you could top me, or what was the deal?
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay.
The mass times.
Hey, folks,
I'm a genius. You
write
know why?
This down, folks. Date and time. Dan Walker says
normal mass times for this weekend.
Yeah, that's right.
That simple.
Yeah. Okay.
Our normal
buddy.
Saturday Sunday mass.
So why, if they're normal, do we have to? Have to go over them. People should know them, right?
Well, we had to remind them.
Okay.
I'm reminding you.
Yeah, well, I have to read, so I know which mass I'm going to be at.
All right, we're going to take a short break, and then we'll finish up with a closing prayer.
All right.
Be right back.
After visiting the Coalition for Life, a pregnant woman reported, "Being helped by the staff was so comforting and relaxing. I really enjoyed my experience here." God could be calling you to help mothers and their unborn children in our community. Human life is sacred. Think about it. CoalitionForLife.com.
Hello, this is Father Frank Pavone. When Cain killed his brother Abel, the Lord asked Cain, "Where is your brother?" Cain's response was, "I do not know." God's question echoes through the centuries and was asked of the U.S. Supreme Court in 1973 when it was faced with the Roe v. Wade decision on abortion. Where is your brother? Will you recognize the unborn as your brother and grant him equal protection? The court said, we need not resolve the difficult question of when life begins. The judiciary is not in a position to speculate as to the answer. Boil that down to three words, and it's I don't know. But my friends, we do know. Let us welcome and nurture the lives of our unborn brothers and sisters. This is Father Frank Pavone, Director of Priests for Life.
Welcome back. You are listening to The Cradle and the Convert. I am Dan Walker with my co-host,
Mark Barthelemy.
Thank you for joining us today.
Hey, Dan, I want to talk about one last thing.
Go right ahead.
All right. What are you going to do for New Year's Day? Well, do you have a family tradition with that? Or
probably go to church.
Right, because it's a holy day of obligation.
Instead of Saturday night. But actually, a good friend of the family, one of my daughter's best friends, is getting married.
Whoa.
On December 31st. So we have a wedding and reception to attend to.
So you're confident you'll make it January 1st if you're out partying all night before?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So actually, congratulations to Carl and Keely. And I won't mention their last names, but we're looking forward to their celebration of marriage.
Awesome.
And so that's going to, this weekend's planned.
Yeah, that's great.
And my daughter was came home from Minneapolis, one of my daughters.
Yeah.
So she's been home all week. So
great.
Good chance to visit with her. So
super.
She's doing an awesome job up there. And fortunately for, I guess, us, for peace of mind as a parent, I've got three sisters and a brother up in the Twin Cities.
Wow.
So she has plenty of family support.
Built-in supervision.
Up there.
What a deal.
She doesn't need supervision. Yeah. So she probably keeps them in line.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So. It's possible. Their name's Walker, I guess, so, you know.
Yeah.
They need supervision.
Once a walker, always a walker.
There you go, buddy.
So how about you guys?
Well, this year is special. Of course, you know, I've been in Florida for a couple of months, and we weren't for sure, due to weather, if we would make it home in time for Christmas.
You looking for an excuse?
No. But that meant our traditional new Christmas Eve celebration was postponed. And so we moved it back to New Year's Day this year to celebrate our family Christmas, so that we'd all be sure to be back and here to go. So,
you know, talking about traditions.
Yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, I'm sure. I'd see the guilt all over your face. Go ahead.
Can you guys see it out there, too?
Right. Yeah.
My
they can hear it in
Uncle
your voice.
Dave Coventry.
Yes.
We have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful family, extended family, my grandparents, my mom's mom and dad. For years and years and years, we've always been together. So they're all their kids and grandkids, and now the third generation of kids, we still get together. We still have what
That's
we call
awesome.
The Coventry reunion. But one of the things I now miss, but good old Uncle Dave would always have Christmas Eve, invite everybody over to his house. And he had shrimp and beef tenderloin with béarnaise sauce and
out. What did he do for a living?
He's retired like you.
Okay. That's where he got all of his money. Never mind. Go ahead. Continue with your story.
But it's nice because we do it for Thanksgiving, too. We run a senior center, and we still have 50 people show up.
Wow.
Even though all of our grandparents have passed away.
Yeah.
But Uncle Dave and everybody comes from Houston.
Oh, that's great.
We're all over and still makes a point to come and for family.
Wow, those traditions are so important.
Very much so.
I really believe in that, for families to have a tradition and to keep it up, to instill it in the kids when they're young, and so they carry it on when we're older. And
yeah, well, Uncle Dave moved up north here recently, so we will not be doing that. So we're going to have to, unless he'd invite us up there, we'd probably go. But
I bet.
But anyway, so we'll have to start a new tradition
for the
on
food,
Christmas
if nothing
Eve,
else.
So. Yeah, the food
I might drive
good.
Up. You
I
know,
mean, when I was young, boy, that food.
Oh,
you know,
I'm telling you.
With our family of six kids,
well, you were a big football player. You had to keep your strength.
That was my excuse.
Yes, yeah. Indeed.
We all need
still
excuses.
Is mine.
What's your excuse?
It still is for me. I got to keep my strength up. It takes a lot of strength to support this big fat body on these stick legs.
You know, I think we need to do a closing prayer.
All right. Well, it's about time.
There you go.
How about memorari, bud?
You know, let's finish with that.
Okay.
Let's just, if we could, bow our heads.
Mm-hmm.
And, dear Lord, we thank you for all that you have given us this past year. all that the time and talents that you've given this radio station, the guidance you have gave the co-host, Dave and Mark, the spirit, the knowledge, the enthusiasm, to help make this show and this station successful. We have many thanks to give you, and we also ask for your blessings, your continued blessings of this station. We ask you to bless all those in need as this coming year comes about, and the resolutions that we make, that we can hold them true, and knowing that we hold those with the faith of Jesus Christ in our hearts, that we can live a life being good Christians.
Amen.
And we'll close.
How about the memorare?
Let's do it.
Can you do it?
I can do it.
All
I can
right.
try.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Spirit, amen. Remember, O
most
gracious
Virgin
Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you do I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy hear and answer me. Amen. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Well, we'll see you folks next week.
God bless you. Happy New Year.